Another episode of Stadium Cast, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is John, aka JR Honda, aka Mr. Business, aka co-conspirator against Gastly. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good. I'm wonderful. The opponent was defeated this weekend.
Indeed. Yeah, I was pretty bummed that you and Cody decided to use the Go Stadium account to spew lies about Stunfisk and more lies about Gastly. It's very unfortunate.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did not send any tweets this weekend.
Well, there was quite a lot of stuff going on this weekend. Today, we're going to be talking about the results about the June and July Community Day votes. We'll talk a little bit about the Throwback Challenge Special Research Quest. Mystic 7 was featured on Twitch Esports and sponsored by Niantic. We'll touch on that a little bit. We're ramping up the Twitch production on Go Stadium, so we'll give you our week schedule. Kakuna's Corner is back again. We're also featuring our coach spotlight with Toshi. A new Sylph Cup emerges with the Sorceress Cup. And we'll do a little bit of speculation station since Kyurem, Reshiram, and Zekrom, did I pronounce those right?
Zekrom, yes.
Well, they are coming to the 5-star raid, so we'll take a brief look at those based on the movesets mined in the data miners.
Ooh.
So let's get to it.
Let's do it. All right. Today is Monday, May 25th, 2020, Memorial Day. I was very astutely informed by a good friend of mine who plays Pokemon Go, who's also a Navy veteran, to not say happy Memorial Day, because it's not a happy day. It's a Memorial Day.
Well, happy Memorial Day, John.
From your very unpolitically correct person, AJ. But no, thank you to those who gave their lives in the line of service. That's today in the U.S. So thank you to those individuals for their service. So we had CDOT Community Day this past weekend. So how did that go for you, Mr. Homestop?
I just let my gotcha do its thing. I think I only manually caught half dozen, if that, C-dots. One of them was shiny, and I think my gotcha picked up another three or four. And, you know, I'd already saved a C-dot for a rainy day, so I evolved that one. And I'm not even sweating Bullet Seed for Ultra League or even Shift Tree for trades, which normally I keep a few for trades. But
yeah,
it was quite nice. Just spent the day with the family and didn't worry at all about the Community Day. How about you?
I did go out and got together with a small group, two people, two of my good friends that we play together in downtown Birmingham. And we played our usual route around downtown. We didn't do a lot of lures and things like that as far as, you know, trying to track down spawns and things of that nature, just because the bonuses were really not that great. The move was really not that great. We already all had pretty, you know, we already all had hundos. We already all had decent PvP IV ones. We did find a rank one that got called out in the local Discord. So great job on that. And then I got a couple other ones that were like top 40 rank. I know I got a rank 13 and a rank 14. So I evolved a bunch of them just because. But I did get the rank one. It does have Bullet Seed on it for now, but I'll probably end up TMing that to Snarl if I end up using it in a cup or a tournament or anything like that. So 13 shinies, pretty low day, especially for a 6 hour. Definitely did not play the full 6 hours. We went and sat down and supported a local restaurant that had opened back up. Went and just had a good time there talking, doing a few trades, few battles, things like that. So we had a good time.
Well, that's good. At least you got to spend some time with friends and catch a few shinies here and there, and then you can transfer them when you get bored of them 2 hours later.
Yeah,
basically.
Absolutely. So we've got June and July community days. The votes are in, buddy. We got what we all wanted, right? Weedle Community Day.
I am so bummed out because I've been going hard on Twitter trying to get the word out that Gastly was the choice. It was the choice for a number of reasons, but I was even more disheartened because first Weedle was in a solid lead and then Gastly just overtook it by, I think at one point it was 5 percentage points, and then it was just like a slow grind for Weedle to get back, and it ended up being 34.1% of the votes for Weedle and 32.3% for Gastly. The results, I would have really liked Gastly to be first. Ultimately, the two that I wanted were those two, so I'm happy that Squirtle didn't get it, but I almost would have preferred Squirtle to get it over Weedle first. Yeah, that's how much I wanted.
So this is going to affect a lot that's happening very soon because, for one, because Weedle was selected first and is now the winner, it could change the Sorceress Cup meta, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But that's going to be towards the end of the month. So you may have people that, have a totally different meta in the first half of the month or pre-community day than you do afterwards. And then in addition to that, because Ultra League is coming up in GBL and we're not going to have that, what was it you said? Something about baiting moves, some dumb argument for Gastly being the community day pick, but you're not going to be able to use that in Ultra League GBL this season because it's not going to be featured on community day until we'll be in Master League territory by then.
After Master League, there should be a week or so of all leagues. So yeah, you could use it in all of those leagues.
Yeah. So I like
them apples. Yeah. You didn't think about that one, did you?
No, I didn't. I was, very short-sighted. What I am extremely shocked about is that at one point Squirtle was in the lead, but then on top of that, it got 23% of the vote for Squirtle.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end. Yeah.
Do you think that is all just new player base and then those mega Squirtle fans and maybe a few trolls sprinkled in, or what do you?
So let me ask you this. If this vote was, which one of these is your favorite Pokemon, which one would win?
Favorite Pokemon out of these, I would probably
vote specifically. I'm just saying, like, the community at wide.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because you've got the, the starter, your original, Kanto region, which all of them are original Kanto, but, Squirtle is kind of, has that lore of being, one of the first Pokemon that people really had, been drawn to with the selection of blue version versus red version. So, I personally would pick Sandshrew because I was a Charizard guy. So I started with red version. I see where that is. But I think that's, that may
Squirtle
come back
is a
to,
fan favorite.
Yeah. That may come 100%. Back to bite us, especially if they have a pairing of four Pokemon that have something like, goodness, what if they have one where they put Pikachu up there?
The next vote that was looked at, this is not official by any means, and Niantic can always change these, but there were a few votes that were found in the code by the Pokeminers, and one of them was, I think it was Charmander, Porygon, and a couple others, and Porygon was the only one that was an unreleased shiny. So we may very well get another Charmander community day down the road. So,
and that
could be a future speculation station,
right?
If we get that,
and that could be very interesting. I wonder if they would do a rerun of Wing Attack or a rerun of Blast Burn or something like that, or a new move altogether.
If they did Shadow Claw Charizard, I'd go on the hype train for that, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'd go like full blown AJ angry Twitter mode again.
Well,
it was a lot of fun. I wasn't actually angry to any of you who interacted with me on Twitter. I hope you know, none of it was mean spirited, of course. And for those of you that did take offense, well, good for me, because I got under your skin.
He fuels off the haters. Don't fuel him, Twitter trolls. Please don't. So I think we can safely say that the community at large got what they wanted, and Weedle and Gastly. I'm saying community at large got what they wanted in the two that were selected. Maybe the order is, you know, up for debate, but that debate has passed, and so has the voting. So Weedle will be sworn in to Shiny Hood very soon with its new fun move, Drill Run. And then, you know, I have to say I'm kind of excited for Gengar as well with Shadow Punch in July. That's going to be a fun community day. Hopefully we get good bonuses. But anyways, I was listening to our friends at Lured Up, and they had talked a little bit about this next topic of we've been doing all of these throwback research events. And if you completed them all in the allotted time, you have access to the throwback champion special research that's coming up next week. But in addition to that, if you have not completed those, you can still gain access to it, but you have to buy a ticket for $7.99.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm conflicted, right? Because I look at it like a company, and I see they're probably losing out on a lot because people haven't been able to go out and play, which is the name of the game, right? Go. And so they have to find ways for alternate revenue. But I don't know. I think this one was felt a little scummy. The incentives weren't quite there. And I don't know. I definitely wouldn't buy a ticket with or without the throwback rewards, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there was definitely some lashback on Twitter. There was drama afoot in the community. They did not want to pay for this ticket. But,
I mean that's fair too, because it's not like this pandemic is only affecting, you know, mobile games that require people to go outside. It's also the livelihood of a lot of people. They don't have their jobs. So on average, most people are able to afford less. So it's a very fine balance. As long as it's not pay to play, I think I'm okay with it for the most part.
I mean, look, if you don't want it, if you don't want to pay for it.
More controversial are those boxes with the elite teams, to be honest with you.
Right. I mean, if you don't want it, don't pay for it. I mean, if you don't want to do that, I mean, they offered a path to being able to access it for free. And in my opinion, it was not very hard to do these research items. I mean, the hardest really task.
Unless your polymer's up, where people are notifying you and telling you, hey, this is the timeline for the events. This is the things that you have to do. These are the rewards. And then you don't do it. Well, then it's on you.
Sorry, Justin. You should have done your research, buddy. Yeah. I mean, like the hardest task that I can remember was, I think, hatch an egg or earn a candy with your buddy. And I mean,
well, there was catch a ghost and catch a steal for this one. Took a little while.
Well, I mean, I was
spawns.
Yeah, I guess I threw an incense on whenever I had something that I could not find. And I don't know if it was meant to do this or if it was just luck of the draw, but nearly every time, I think with the ghost, definitely with the ghost, I put an incense on and it was like 10 a.m. And a Duskull spawned on the incense.
Yeah.
So I got that.
And also, if you notice that the spawns, there's quite a few one-star raids that are
absolutely
steel types. So it's kind of, there are some incentives. If you want it quicker, then you spend a little bit and you'll be able to get it no problem.
Right.
So yeah, it is a little bit of that game, but if you're patient.
Right. I was fortunate enough.
I was in the timeline.
I was waiting for the steel type and then a 2-star popped Mawile within view of my house. So I was able to do that for my steel type. So I got through them relatively quickly. And so I don't think it was that difficult to get through, but there were some people who thought that it was difficult and definitely complained a little bit about on social media. But, you know, you're always going to have some people that have, you know, different circumstances and maybe they aren't lucky enough to have a gem within view, or maybe they don't, you know, get that spawn on the incense or something like that. But I think for the most part, they've done a good job with allowing both a free way to path to rewards and encounters and things like that. And also for people that just want a paid way. And then people who, you know, much like a few of my friends that are just going to buy the ticket because they want to do everything that the game puts out. They want to, you know, get the extra candies that they're going to offer. And that's the thing is if you do buy this ticket and you've already completed the research, instead of getting additional encounters, you just get candy for those Pokemon along with additional Stardust and rare candies. So keep that in mind. So anyways, what do we have next there, sir?
Well, you know, a few days ago, we had Mystic 7 featured by Niantic on Twitch Esports. So there was a lot of hype around that. And I saw a lot of familiar faces, a lot of familiar names, rather, tuning in to Mystic 7's Twitch channel. And it was pretty fun. I mean, he's very high energy. But I'm wondering, what do you think the implications are of the stream for the future of PvP?
Honestly, I think this is the first public step by Niantic and the Pokemon Company, because I can guarantee you there's no way this would have happened without the Pokemon Company's influence and on Twitch. The Pokemon Company has longstanding had a good relationship with Twitch. All of their live streamed events, for the most part, you know, they've had a few live streams on YouTube, but it's never really been tournaments and things like that. So all of their tournaments and live stream events have always really been on Twitch, whether that be on the official Pokemon channels, the Pokemon trading card game channel, Pokin, and things like that. So, I really think this was the first probably public step outside of obviously them showing the Pokemon Go Invitational this previous year at World Championships in Washington, D.C. This was the first probably step forward in them acknowledging that Pokemon Go is getting ready to take its place in that sort of catalog that the Pokemon franchise has. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, and I think a lot of people see, you know, the dominoes starting to fall where the Pokemon Company and Play Pokemon, which is their competitive division that runs all of their tournaments, has begun the process of formalizing tournament structures and ways to incorporate Pokemon Go into their fold of competitive events to earn championship points and things like that. We've seen recently in a previous segment of our Speculation Station, we talked about how the Pokemoners have found in the code different forms of metas or different type restrictions on cups that could be presented in the Go Battle League format. There's been some speculated server reworks with the upcoming shutdown on June 1st. where they're shutting everything down the entire game worldwide for an extended period of time. And, you know, everyone I know, I work in software, and if we're going down for that long period of time, something significant is being done.
Yeah, if you had to put your, as our friends over at Lured Up say a lot, or your tinfoil hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any speculation on what they could possibly implement?
I think most definitely they are either replacing the servers, or they've already replaced the servers and they're migrating the sort of instance of the game that is being run worldwide over to those servers. And then using probably what they've been using as a backup or a dev environment for the game moving forward. We don't know that, but I have to say that I think that's definitely what they're gearing up for. I think the Pokemon Company is definitely going to influence them in making sure that they have something that is ready for mass consumption and that can be on the scale of their video game and Pokken tournaments. You know, more on the scale of video game because it does have online battles and tournaments and things like that, which Pokken does too, but Pokken is not seen relatively any new development for a while now, and they're continually investing in the video game series with, you know, this is the first time they've had DLC content in their main series games. And they've had multiple different changes in the video game rule structure of, you know, different metas or Pokemon that you can use and things like that in that video game series. So I think this is just the beginning. I think this is the first step publicly by Niantic and sort of pseudo publicly by the Pokemon Company because they would have had to sign off on this for this to happen. And for it to be put out there like that and for Twitch to be endorsing it like they did. And we're seeing it. We're seeing Twitch really embrace Pokemon Go as a true extension of the Pokemon franchise. So I really like that. My one pet peeve is that they still don't capitalize the O in Pokemon Go in the Twitch category. And I have to say, I get a little angry every time I look at it.
So instead of Pokemon Go, it's Pokemon Go, something like that.
Yeah, kind of
like a sad go.
I think Ken over at Lured Up has mentioned this a couple of times where it, one of his biggest things is when people don't use the E with the accent in Pokemon, or they don't spell it right, or they say Pokemon.
They say Pokemon, Pokemans. Yeah,
Pokemans, stuff like that. So
don't you want to trade my Pokemans?
But no, anyways, so speaking of Twitch, we are at Stadium. We are ramping up our Twitch production. You know, we've been talking with Twitch and different people, staff at Twitch for a while now about how we can incorporate what we are doing because we're not really... Stadium is different. We are not a, we're obviously not a one man team. We're not a one man show. And we want to provide content for the community that is engaging and can help other trainers and other people have a place to come and watch, you know, top high level competition and things like that. So we will, we've got a big schedule this week. We've got the race to rank 10, hashtag Team Honda, repping.
We're going to, I discovered AJ today that I even have a team. That's news to me. I think I'm the only person on this team. Well, to be honest.
That is pretty true. I mean, I just kind of threw that in there to help you feel like you know, you had something, you know, not really many people.
So who's on your team? Is it like your wife, your mom? That's it.
I'm pretty sure everybody's hashtag Team Honda.
Your dog maybe is on your team.
Absolutely. Hashtag Team Honda. But anyways, I gotta say, I hope you're ready tomorrow night. I haven't been playing that much. So my rank's relatively, well, my rank is the same. But I played around with some shadow Pokemon that I had never powered up, but I remember the TM.
Are you running the triple shadow with fast move?
I'm running the triple shadow, and I have to say it is fun. It is pretty
fun. You're such a hateful person if you're running it.
So I have that, but I also have my Grass Knot Cresselia that I've had some fun with. So we will see who does well tomorrow night. And I also officially challenge you to some auto wrecked to start the stream. How about that?
Awesome. You're on. I asked you, and now you're challenging me, but we'll go with that for sure. I think that would be fun. I think auto wreck is always so much fun.
Absolutely. Because
it's just pure roll the dice, but you get some really weird matchups in there. So it breaks the ice quite well, I think.
Yeah. And then we have Wacky Wednesday with Toshi and Miss Mystic. They are going to be wacky and goofy as always. Toshi does have his sippy cup. Not sure why it took forever to get Toshi his own sippy cup, but it's finally there. He is in love. He does keep it constantly full, and he will be sipping away and spending dust. So be sure to drop in on that stream. And then we also have Kaiser's Taxi Service. We'll continue to chauffeur our wonderful British founder, Chris Scott, on his way to rank 10. So, speaking of, we already covered a couple of these things. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Tau Trio in the Speculation Station. And also, Pokemon Go will be down on Monday, June 1st from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time. So we chatted about that a little, but we've got another edition of Kakuna's Corner this week. So without further ado, let's throw it to none other than PV Poke himself, Kakuna Matata.
Hi, it's Matthew from PV Poke, and welcome to Kakuna's Corner. Welcome back to another edition of Kakuna's Corner. And this week, I'm going to be diving into some search trends over the last week for Go Battle League, and also some general search trends for the beginning of Season 2 compared to Season 1. There are some top meta picks that have been more popular at the beginning of Season 2, including Skarmory, Meganium, and Venusaur. These Pokemon have had search increases by 30 to 50% over the past week, and I would say are more notably popular in Season 2 than they were toward the end of Season 1. Electric types are also on the upswing, with Stunfisk and Alolan Raichu as the two most popular electric types being searched. They're pretty neck and neck. Alolan Raichu had the changes to Wild Charge, which turn it into an absolute nuke, and Stunfisk is seeing more play as an anti-meta core breaker for Azumarill Registeel, also very good against Bastiodon. Grass Knot Cresselia is here, and with that, potentially expect to face that more in Go Battle League, and also expect to face more counters, stuff like Umbreon, Sableye. Haunter, depending on the moveset, can be iffy, but something you definitely want to prepare for. Cresselia has a ton of viable movesets. Three charge moves I would highlight are Moonblast, obviously Grass Knot, and then potentially Future Sight. Future Sight gives it great neutral matchups, and then you also have the fast moves between Psycho Cut and Confusion. Psycho Cut gets through those charge moves faster. If you're running Grass Knot and Moonblast, you can entertain Confusion to have that raw psychic damage. Speaking of Cresselia, maybe you're getting a little curious about Ultra League, which is going to be dropping on June 1st, probably after their big maintenance period. If we want to look at what's trending in Ultra League, Cresselia is number one by a huge amount, might I add. Then we have Giratina, Swampert, Articuno, Armored Mewtwo, Venusaur, Lapras, Virizion, which had a shiny week, and Registeel. And then there's some interesting picks like Machamp, Sceptile, of course, Alolan Muk, who is going to be key at stopping Cresselia. And some people are looking at Groudon, too. I wouldn't expect to see Groudon very much in competitive Ultra League play. But that's a general list of what I would expect going into the Ultra League meta week one. Cresselia, Giratina, Registeel for sure if you're playing in the upper levels. And then fighting type counters for Registeel and dark type counters for Cresselia and Giratina. Escavalier is also, I've talked so much about Escavalier before. Escavalier is also looking pretty darn good as far as an anti-meta pick goes, having coverage against Registeel and then also Megahorn for Cresselia. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, I said this last week, but next week, we will probably have a new meta to talk about. Almost certainly have a new meta to talk about. It'll be June. It'll be almost June. We're going to have a June meta. Let's do it. See you next time.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt. For more regular updates, or if you simply want to contribute to PV Poke, head over to pvpoke.com/contribute. So we definitely do have that new meta to discuss. But first, what do you think about those trends? Are you seeing some of the same things? Do you think all of that is coming to fruition?
Totally. I am definitely seeing quite a few Stunfisk that I wasn't seeing, a few weeks ago. And Grassknot Cresselia, super interested in that. I know Psycho Cut versus Confusion, kind of a debate there. Personally, I'm biased to Confusion, but I can see arguments for both. So can't wait to get a better one. I have a few trades lined up and hopefully one gets to the IVs that I'm looking for. So can't get too picky with special moves, though.
I couldn't think of a better use for my second Elite Charge TM than to put it on my 1500 on the dot shiny Cresselia. So that's what
you used it.
I did. Wow. And I don't think I fell victim to the hype this time. I think it was well worth it. I have enjoyed using
That's very situational. You know, like that's a Pokemon that you really like.
Yeah.
And that's special for you. And I think that's where Elite TMs are really going to be, in play. Because normally you can acquire those movesets through trades or whatever.
Right.
And you save them for the ones you really like or the ones that you've already invested in. Like my Groudon is almost for sure going to get an Elite Charge TM. I'm going to wait until I need it, but because it's already maxed and it's a 98% with 14 HP. So it's effectively a perfect and yeah. I'm getting it to best buddy. So you know what I mean? Like I've invested a lot into this Groudon and it's like that's a good investment for me.
Yeah. My buddy Brett, he has his perfect Groudon that he loves. That was his best buddy long before Fire Punch was added to its move pool. And mm-hmm. So we were talking, he was one of the guys I played community with. And I said, what have you decided to use it on? And he said, I'm not really sure. I don't know what I'm supposed to use it on. And I said, you definitely need to use one on your perfect best buddy Groudon. That's an easy, easy use. So he sent a screenshot over earlier today where he had done that and it was back as his best buddy with the CP boost, so he was pretty happy about that. But anyways, it's time to get on the train. Not that train, not the spec. We're not going to Speculation Station. No, we're going to Hogwarts. We're going to Hogwarts, mate.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizard, Harry. It's time to talk Sorcerer's Cup. So we had a meta announcement for this June's Sorcerer's Cup. So what we have is the eligible types are ice, poison, fairy, psychic, and normal. Some strategic bans and also ban, I guess, statistics. I don't really know what to call that. You have Dewgong that's banned, Alolan Raichu, any Pokemon that have a second move that is more than 50,000 dust to unlock. And also shadow Pokemon as a whole are banned as well. So we have the PV Poke rankings are out. We'll let you talk about that a little. We have dev notes from the Sylph meta team. And then also upcoming, we have a Sylph Sorceress Cup that we're going to do sort of a flash tournament. And then we're also going to talk about the meta as we, you know, do a stream this Thursday on Go Stadium's Twitch channel. So what do you think of this cup overall? I've seen a lot of good feedback, even though we haven't really seen people play it yet. I've seen people talking about it gives sort of a Twilight feel to it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people so far, good reception. We got to wait till the meta settles a little bit to see if there's any overly dominant course. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but the fact that there wasn't an immediate, these are the must haves, right? That is always a good thing. And particularly I'm excited about the development notes because they actually gave us a little bit of feedback. The Sylph team did an excellent job compiling their sort of early ideas, their rule set and bans, and sort of their scientific approach to examining the data and even the playtesting. So, you know, that's a really cool article. We'll include that in the show notes. And if you're a nerd like me, I think you'll quite enjoy that. And already there's a few meta graphics that have popped up. One from the Thunder Lions over in Mexico, TZ Spenex. He made one, or they made one very recently. And it seems like Noctowl is going to be front and center with Azumarill in the metas. Quite a lot of dark types to choose from with Alolan Raticate, Alolan Muk, and Skuntank, to mention a few. But it doesn't look like over-the-top dominant cores, right? You got the counter users and Medicham and Toxicroak. You got the Munchlax is looking pretty good in this meta. So a little early to say what is going to be a must-have, but, you know, there are certain picks that you're looking at that are almost always almost too good to pass up. What is exciting is that this is now two metas in a row where Azumarill has been eligible. And in the previous one, at least, it seemed like Azumarill was definitely not a must-have. It was more of a second-tier pick as opposed to a go-to, right? And hopefully it's going to be more of the same here because any meta where Azumarill is too dominant is going to be pretty boring, I think so.
Yeah, one thing I'm interested about that, you know, we talked about Sylph, by the way, you fantastic job on releasing these dev notes. Huge kudos to Kratos. Haha, very funny on my part. No, huge kudos to Kratos over at Sylph for putting this stuff together and releasing that out. Great, great move on their part to kind of show how they're approaching this and how they developed this cup, what work went into it. So I really like that. Definitely a great job on their part. We talked a couple weeks ago about how they approached certain metas, kind of how they approached Forest Cup and the strategic bans and trying to make it to where nothing really that Niantic could do to kind of influence it. But I'm a little worried because we do have several of these types being released next week, new Pokemon. So we have, for normal types, we've got the new Galarian Zigzagoon. And you're already seeing sort of that core or that specific segment of the meta for the dark types. And you've got the dark normal types like Alolan Raticate. So seeing kind of what maybe Galarian Linoone looks like. We'll see. I don't know if that's is that a 75K unlock?
I thought it was 10. If it's the same family.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to be eligible or not. And then also the Galarian Darumaka. So the ice fire type that may be coming out. So I may be way off here. Those may end up being 75K unlocks. But there's, you know, definitely possibly some shakeups that could happen. So we'll see if that affects it at all. I know, obviously, Beedrill was already kind of up there in the rankings without Drill Run. So we'll see if that shifts later in this month. Also, I don't know if this is going to be the theme for Continentals or what. We haven't really heard from the Sylph team on what we're doing for Continentals. And those were supposed to be coming up here soon.
I don't want to take this with a grain of salt, so it could be totally wrong. But my understanding is that this is the open format, and that part of the goal with this particular meta was to have it sort of... what was the last time that we had an open format? What was it for last season?
When you say open, remember? What do you mean?
Like open qualifiers?
Open qualifiers last time was Rainbow Cup.
Rainbow, yeah. So I think it's a little similar to Rainbow in that quite a lot of types are eligible.
Yeah.
And there's just a fairly open meta. You know, it's open qualifiers. It's an open meta. But I could be totally wrong on that. They might have changed it. They might have had a different plan all along. So we'll just have to wait and see.
I wonder how they're going to approach the open qualifiers, because obviously last year they held open qualifiers in sync with the Niantic in-person events. Those are obviously not happening this year. Most likely if they do have any type of GoFest event, it will be a remote, do it from home style event where people can, I'm sure, still buy tickets, obviously for revenue reasons and to be able to participate in the events. But I don't know how Sylph is going to handle it. That's something that they haven't really discussed yet. So I'm sure they're working on it. We'll see. But I think this cup has very, very high potential. A lot of good feedback so far. So we'll see how it goes. You know, one of our coaches, Toshi, we've got a coach spotlight this week, and he is our featured coach. So we've got a segment from him, but he's already been discussing different sorceress teams. And I think I saw a message from him somewhere where he was discussing a triple counter team in the Sorceress Cup. So who knows? Toshi's crazy and wacky, but he puts in results. So let's sometimes. He also thinks Stunfisk is a mud boy, which I actually tend to agree with.
Oh, you agree with this? And let this happen?
Let's not get this train off the tracks just yet.
By the way, Cody,
that whole thing.
I've been silent on this issue, but no more. You said that hijacking is it not a term that applies because we gave you the password? First of all, I gave you nothing. Second of all, if my first officer hits me in with his elbow and I pass out and he takes command of the airplane, that is a hijacking, my friend. And that is what you're doing with this nonsense of calling Stunfisk a glass boy or whatever it is you're concocting. So anyway, that's my rant for today. I think we have a spotlight you were talking about.
Thank you for coming to AJ's AJ Talk. But anyways, let's throw it to Toshi in this week's Coach Spotlight.
Hello, everybody. Toshi here. And for a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about my current GBL team, why I run it, some strategies about it, and my general thoughts on the meta and why this works. So the team that I'm running right now is Lantern, Altaria, and Vigoroth. And I really like this team for a couple of reasons. The main reason being that I see so many Azumarill and Skarmory in the lead. Between the Caleb Pang team, the team that For the Battle is trying out right now, and just the fact that they're two very, very common Pokemon in the meta, I'm winning a lot of leads against Azumarill and Skarmory. Another reason why I like this team is it's really good at drawing out Azumarill when it's not in the lead. And what I mean by this is, pretty much unless I get a hard win for a Lantern in the lead, like unless I see an Azumarill or a Skarmory or something else that Lantern beats really hard, I immediately switch into Vigoroth. And I do this because I've noticed that when my opponent sees the Lantern in the lead and I switch out of it, they bring in the Azumarill immediately because they don't want the Azumarill trapped in the back against the Lantern. So what that does is it really frees up the game for Altaria in the back. If I don't need to worry about an Azumarill in the back, Altaria has a lot of fun. It often meets Meganium or Grass Pokemon fighters, especially with the Azumarill gone. So the way those games usually play out, like let's say I get an Altaria or some other neutral matchup in the lead, and I switch into my Vigoroth, they switch into Azumarill. And Vigoroth is really good at losing very soft matchups. Typically, it loses the zero shield with Azumarill in the red. Azumarill can't farm. So an Azumarill with about 10 or 15 HP will beat my Vigoroth, and I'll get 6 or 7 sparks of damage in on my Lantern. It'll leave that with a full Thunderbolt, the Azumarill gone, and a ready-to-go Altaria for what is usually either a Registeel or a Meganium and all shields in play. It's a really strong setup, and I think it's always important to know the strategies that you want to set up your Pokemon in the way that you want them to be set up. The team works really well if I can just get Azumarill out of the way and use my Pokemon in a way to get Azumarill out of the way so that Lantern and Altaria can do the things that they do best. So that's a strategy that works really well with this team, especially in a meta with a lot of Azumarill, a lot of Reggie, and a lot of Meganium. If I can get rid of the Azumarill, and most players will have a Meganium or some grass Pokemon or just basically some strong water counter, if Altaria can then get on that Pokemon with Azumarill gone, the team works really well. Obviously, I like the fact that Altaria and Lantern complement each other. Altaria beats all of Lantern's main counters. Lantern beats all of Altaria's main counters. And Vigoroth is so good at making sure I get those Pokemon into the right matchups and line everything up the way I want it to be lined up. Obviously, the team isn't perfect. I've switched it around a lot recently. I originally popularized the Alolan Raichu Altaria and Vigoroth line. But with House Stark and Thotectical popularizing Sableye lines, there was way too much Sableye in the meta for Alolan Raichu. It was it's not the end of the world, but I just didn't like the I didn't like all of the Sableye and having to avoid them with my Raichu. So I switched to Lantern for a similar play, just a little bit more Sableye friendly. If the meta eventually shifts away from Sableye, I will probably go back to Alolan Raichu because I think it's one of the best Pokemon in the game. So that's basically it. I might have to switch it around a bit, especially because I've been talking a lot about this team, and so people are starting a little bit more to save their Azumarill in the back, knowing that I got an Altaria. And I've been seeing a lot more Mud Boys. A Mud Boy in the lead is a little bit of an issue for this team, just because obviously Lantern can't beat them, and a Whiscash in the back with shields down. Altaria can't beat them either. So, and I've been having some significant issues with Shadow Victory Belt in the lead, which is becoming more and more popular lately. So I might have to tweak it a bit, but I think in general, this team does a really good job at attacking the typical Azumarill, Registeel, Meganium meta, especially now with some increased presence of Skarmory. And if you really get to know the matchups and play around well, I think it has some really amazing play, and I really like using it. So that's my GBL team, the one I'm using right now. I'm probably going to switch it around a bit and just adapt to the meta as it develops. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Toshi out.
All right. Thank you, Toshi. You can find Princess Toshi on Twitter at ShutUpToshi9227, on YouTube at the same link, and also on Twitch or the Go Stadium Discord. If you'd like to sign up for coaching services or anything with Toshi, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/GoStadium. So, what do you think of that line? What do you think of Lantern, Altaria, Vigoroth? I really like Vigoroth. I have not done much play with Lantern or Altaria, but I do agree. I have seen, it has to be at least 75% of the leads have been Skarmory that I've seen.
Oh, 75%. I don't know. Mine's a little bit more all over the place, but Lantern is a pretty powerful pick in this meta, especially with Spark. It has potentially, it can potentially win Altaria. It has favorable matchups against, you know, any of the Icy Winders, Azumarill, Registeel. So it's quite a powerful pick, and has no play against these pitiful Shadow Victory Bell players. But I'm sure we'll have more about that tomorrow on our stream. to watch that firsthand.
You were looking and pointing at me because we're on this video call, and I told you about the shadow teams that I've been using, but I am not using a Shadow Victory Bell. I am predicting the Shadow Victory Bell or the Skarmory in the lead and leading with Shadow Houndoom with Fire Fang, which is
just as bad.
No, it's just not as bad. No, come on.
These teams that are like full blown commit to the fast move, shield twice like you're a rocket grunt and go from there, you know, or a rocket leader rather. I really think that it brings the gameplay to such a base level of, you know, throw your craps and see if they stick. You know, I'm not a big fan. I don't mind losing because I lose a lot, and you know, you learn from the matchups and all this stuff, and you can get outplayed, and you know, someone switches in just in the moment, tanks a charge move. But when it's these fast move, you know, you don't even have to use charge moves often, and you just have the switch menu up. They're just tapping away with Razor Leaf or Charm or whatever. And if they switch, you switch right back to their counter. And if you win the lead, it's it. That's it. You
know, what's so funny to me is I've seen so many of the shadow teams that I was like, okay, I need to see what the hype is all about. But also at the same time, I wanted to look at it from a counter perspective. And I'll go ahead and give everybody a little snippet if you're listening to this before the stream tomorrow night. The team that I've been playing around with, I've changed up one or two times and thrown a, yes, you heard it right, Shadow Marsh Tomp in there to play around.
Oh, Shadow Marsh Tomp is fine. Yeah, AJ's that's
shaking
fine.
His head. But
I don't mind that one.
The go-to team that I've been using is Shadow Houndoom, Shadow Venusaur, and Shadow Gardevoir. So
hold up. What charge moves on Venusaur?
I did not use an Elite TM. I'm using Petal Blizzard and Sludge Bomb right now.
Oh my God.
I don't need them. I don't need them. I don't even get to them half the time.
Oh wait, you're doing Razor Leaf. That's
Razor
right.
Razor Leaf, buddy. Razor Leaf.
Unreal. So why don't you just use Weepin' Bell and just fully commit to the...
I kid you not. At least five times today, Shadow Houndoom comes out. They throw out the lead. It's a Skarmory. I start chunking away with that Fire Fang. They either swap immediately or it takes them a second. They swap into the Azumarill. I immediately swap into the Shadow Venusaur and start Razor Leafing that sucker down. And then they're usually able to get
Ice
Beam.
You know, now that you're responsible of the uptick in phones being thrown against the wall, how do you feel about this in the middle of an epidemic causing so much stress in your fellow brethren? I don't want
to
hear this.
I have to say I'm relatively happy because it is quite fun to see someone immediately swap from... I tell you, the best one that I've seen is somebody swapped from a Skarmory against the Houndoom. They swapped into an Altaria. I immediately swapped to the Gardevoir and start charming that down. Then they come back in. They come back in with a Whiscash.
Do they even get to a Sky Attack if you do that?
Yeah, they get to a Sky Attack. They got to one Sky Attack. So I shield the Sky Attack. Whatever. I shield the Sky Attack so I'd get rid of the Altaria. And then they bring in the Whiscash. I let them mud bomb me and they take out the Gardevoir and I wait the switch clock timer down. As soon as they see that Venusaur come out, they just quit. They quit. It's done.
Yeah. Why bother?
So, it's
now, if you lose the lead, what do you do? You just, all right, well, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, right?
You know, honestly, that was part of the time where I switched it up. I have like a rank 106 Shadow Marsh Tomp that I've powered up that I put a bunch of dust into, but I really like it because I actually run Mud Bomb and Sludge on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a couple of times where I've run into like a Stunfisk, and I can hit those mud bombs and it does a good 35-40% with each mud bomb. And then they'll swap in, like I ran into an Air / Tropius, and the sludge will do a good 25-30% against that. So I really like that as well. But like you were saying, if I lose the lead, I've generally been swapping into Gardevoir. So like if I get hit with an Altaria lead.
Yeah, you're a monster.
If I get hit with an Altaria lead and I swap into Gardevoir and then they throw in like an Azumarill, like I still win that. I still can win that with shields.
But it really sucks if they have something like Registeel. You're going to Registeel, you're going to chunk it down. So you're going to just commit probably two shields.
If I safe swap into a Gardevoir and then they swap into a Registeel, I just let them take it with the, I let them go ahead and immediately flash cannon me, essentially sack it.
Oh.
And then I Fire Fang it down. And then if they come back in with an Altaria, you look up and see how much damage a unshielded crunch does from a shadow, a rank 81 rather, shadow Houndoom against an Altaria. It does well over 50%. It is insane.
Yeah. Why not? I guess foul play you could also, but crunch.
Crunch, I get there faster. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more energy efficient. And I run flamethrower just in case.
You monster.
That's right. Monster. They're double moved and they're fantastic. So,
oh, boy. But,
anyways.
Of course, you would be the person to, of all people. I was ragging on this on Twitter. I was ragging on this with just like in privately to people. I was like, man, it's like the lowest common denominator are the people running these fast move.
Really
gimmicks.
What wrecks my team though, really what wrecks that team, Bastiodon.
Right.
Even with Shadow Venusaur, like Razor Leaf can get it down. Like I can win that two shield matchup, but if they've paired that with a flyer, I'm donezo, especially
the version of this team that I've seen is like a Bastiodon, Victory Bell,
Gardevoir.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe it was Houndoom. I don't know.
The one I ran into was Bastiodon, and I ran into it a couple of times, which one time it was with the shadow accoutrements. And then one time it was just Bastiodon with a flyer and I think a Swampert or a Stunfisk. And that's when I swapped in the Shadow Marsh Tomp for the Shadow Venusaur, because when I swap in, you know, I would catch the lead a lot of times, or I could safe swap into the Marsh Tomp, and then they would swap in like the Stunfisk or whatever to try and hit. But I don't know why they swap in the Stunfisk, but I guess because, you know, whatever they had wasn't good against the Marsh Tomp, and hit those mud bombs against the Stunfisk, and it just does hard damage. So anyways, I like playing with the shadows, but also, like I said, I've been enjoying Vigoroth and playing around with Best Buddy Sableye and the new Grass Knot Cresselia. So
yeah, I've had that strategy that Toshi was talking about of bringing out the Azu and then.
Yeah.
And then Altaria can go to town. And then that's quite right. Altaria can do quite a lot with shields up, even counter Registeel in many cases. So, yeah. And just Dragon Breath, such an impressive move. It's, you know, paired with something as bulky as Altaria, it can absolutely wreak havoc through things. There's actually a break point where Altaria goes from 1 to 2 damage on Azumarill, and that can flip certain matchups. So that is something to look out for.
I've been shocked. A lot of people say, you know, Azumarill just walls Altaria. That's really not true.
Yeah, it doesn't, because Sky Attack's for neutral.
Yep.
And Bubble is hitting resisted, which is not a very high damage per turn move. So
you have to invest. Yeah. If they've got two shields and they've swapped in, so that's what I've seen a lot of times is the Vigoroth is leading into a Bastiodon or a Registeel, and they swap into the Altaria, and then I counter swap because I want to keep switch advantage, and I swap in an Azumarill. If they want to, they can very easily two shield and swap out of that matchup without taking an Ice Beam.
Yeah.
And have Azumarill at very low in the red. So,
for sure.
Speaking of dangerous dragons, I hear we've got a new set headed our way. And I think that's a perfect, perfect topic to stop off. Let's hop off the train at Speculation Station and have a little chat with a nice cup of Joe. So let's head on in to Speculation Station. Speculation Station. We're in the station, baby. We're back.
I love it when you talk to me like that. It's so dirty.
Oh, man. So we have the Tau Trio.
Yes.
Three Pokemon. And these are confirmed. We know what colors they are now.
Yes. Yeah. We were talking about this before the podcast. I thought you were going to be the one familiar with these, but clearly you're not.
Sorry, buddy.
You didn't even know what color they were. But,
well, I have to say, color is just something that I don't see because I'm just that.
Yes. Right. Ahead. Right. Of course.
You know, I don't see color. So, you know, you basically,
is that because never mind. I'm not gonna get into that.
You could not move on without knowing which one was black or white. And I don't know if that was why that was, you just wanted to talk about Reshiram first because it was white. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we are in Speculation Station, but I think that's the wrong type of speculation.
It's kind of goofy how both of our wives are in the minority, but any chance we get to sling mud at the other for, you know, being racial racist implications, then we do that.
So yes, my wife is African American, but it was funny earlier today we were watching. We've recently dove headfirst into the TLC series 90 Day Fiancé, and I often joke about some of the we'll call them characters on the show. And she'll start laughing at my jokes. And I say, no, you can't laugh at that because you're not a racist. Only I am.
Wow. Well, so, I think we'll clip that for sure.
Absolutely.
And we'll move on to the Tau Trio, right? These are confirmed. Yeah. These will be released. So that part isn't speculation. However, the awesome Pokeminers, you can follow them on Twitter, have discovered the move sets in the Game Master. They're also, I believe they're on Game Press as well. Zekrom and Reshiram have the same stats as Dialga. I heard that's pretty good in Master League. I think Dialga is a pretty good Pokemon, generally speaking. And I pulled up a few matrix simulations on PvPoke. Just a side note, if you're ever wanting to find out whether your IVs matter on a certain Pokemon, you can go on pvpoke.com/battle. And then in the drop down menu, you can hit, instead of single or multi, you can hit matrix battle. And then you can add Pokemon on the left. And what it's going to do, it's going to pop up a certain Pokemon. You can type in a search name and you can use the drop down menu, advanced stats and IVs, and you can manually plug those in. You can plug in best buddy stats. You can plug in specific IVs, different move sets. And so for the purpose of this, I just used perfect IVs with different move sets and made some assumptions. And then on the right, I used quick fill and you can actually find the Master League meta. So again, thank you so much, Matt, for putting all this stuff together. It makes our lives much easier when trying to find data. But the first one I was looking up was Reshiram. Now, Reshiram is a, again, same stats as Dialga, right? It is a first of its kind dragon and fire typing. And what's really cool about it is that it has dragon breath. Actually, all of these guys have dragon breath. It can also run Fire Fang, but I've sort of assumed that most people are not going to be running Fire Fang, although there's always going to be exceptions. It also has Crunch, Draco Meteor, which is a great move, and Overheat. And it also has Stone Edge for coverage. So just a great set of charge moves for now. And again, running that Matrix simulation on pvpoke.com against the meta, there are some differences, right? I just assumed that it's going to tend to run Crunch just because it's the lower energy charge move. You know, maybe that changes depending on what lineups you want. But for the most part, your charge moves aren't going to matter too much because the Dragon Breath is doing most of the heavy lifting. The big sacrifices that you get are, of course, that without Outrage or Stone Edge, you drop the Lugia matchup. Not a big deal, but it is a dragon type user that beats Heatran, which is really cool just because it's doing so much neutral damage with its charge moves. And it also beats Giratina Origin, not quite against Giratina Altered, and it also beats Dialga. So all of those are really interesting matchups. You can find more, of course, on it on PvPoke. But I'm quite excited for Dragon Fire, mainly because it resists Charm. Now, looking at Zekrom, Zekrom is a Dragon Electric. Again, Dragon Breath also has Charge Beam. Charge Beam, not the best move, but it also has Crunch, Flash Cannon, Outrage, and Wild Charge. So for this sim, I made the assumption, and again, there can be, you know, changes to these. People can decide to not go with certain moves. But I made the assumption that all of them are going to have Wild Charge just because it's such a great move right now. Such a hard-hitting move. And you really do need hard-hitting moves in the Master League. The biggest drops with, depending on what, whether you're running Outrage or Crunch or Flash Cannon, is going to be without... without Crunch, you lose against, am I reading that right? Oh, with Crunch, you lose against Garchomp. So it's a very close win just because of Dragon Breath. And with Crunch, you pick up Mew. Not a whole lot of people running Mew, but otherwise you do lose that. And it's a very close, very, very close matchup no matter what moves you run against Reshiram. So there's some other changes like Tyranitar, but nobody really cares about Tyranitar in Master League. But Dragon Electric, I'm not so sure that that is the best typing in this meta because most Steel types aren't really relying heavily on Steel type moves to output damage. So not doing a whole lot, but it is a dragon type that resists steel. And, you know, as opposed to the fire dragon that resists fairy. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it has wild charge against Togekiss, which is one of the, it is the top charmer in the Master League right now, but it'll definitely be interesting. It still loses pretty hard to Togekiss with shields up though. So not expecting many people to use it as a Togekiss counter. And Kyurem. Kyurem is a, what is it, Dragon Ice, right? Am I saying that right?
Yes, it's Kyurem.
Oh, is it Kyurem?
Pronounce the Y a little bit more. Kyurem. And I have to say, I am ecstatic that this is coming to the game. And I got even more excited when I looked at this move pool.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, Kyurem, Dragon Ice type, it has about 206 attack, 146 defense, and 205 stamina. It is also a Dragon Breather. It could run Steel Wing. I assume most people are going to be running Dragon Breath, though. And it also has some really weird charge moves, right? Blizzard, Draco Meteor, Dragon Claw, and Icy Wind. So that is very unique. Not that many Icy Winders in the Master League. And looking at Kyurem, I've sort of made the assumption that they're either going to run Icy Wind or they're going to pair Dragon Claw with Blizzard. So I ran Draco Meteor and Icy Wind, Dragon Claw and Icy Wind, which would be an interesting set, and Dragon Claw and Blizzard. And honestly, the matchups are quite what you would expect with Draco Meteor and Icy Wind. It actually drops the Giratina altered matchup, but it picks those up when it has, it looks like a potentially a bait dependent win in the, when it has Blizzard, or it just can spam Dragon Claw straight up against Giratina altered. But the matchups are quite interesting. It does pick up Giratina origin, and altered for the most part. It beats Groudon so long as it has Icy Wind, and it also has pretty bad matchup against Dialga unless it's running Dragon Claw Icy Wind, just because it's able to do neutral with all of those moves. And let's see what else. Oh, Landorus is one that's pretty interesting because Landorus was a pretty good counter to Dialga, but with Dragon Claw, it does quite well against Landorus too. And it also does quite well against Mewtwo and a few others. But I think it's an interesting set. But what's most interesting about Kyurem, I hope I'm saying that right because I totally thought it was going to be Kyurem. But anyway, is that it has three different forms. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because you were telling me about it before the show, John.
Yeah, so in the main series games, you could basically choose what type of Kyurem you wanted. In I believe it was Black and White 2, all the main series people are going to just annihilate me on Twitter or something if I'm telling you wrong information. But if I remember correctly, when I was playing these on my DS, you could basically, depending on what version you were running, you would get either White Kyurem or Black Kyurem based on how they merge together, because that's how Kyurem is formed, is the sort of Dragon Ball Z-ish joint effect of Zekrom and Reshiram joining together to make Kyurem, the black and white turning into a sort of silver or grayish Pokemon, fire and electricity, you know, turning into ice, things like that. Some weird lore around these. So I don't know how this is going to affect in game because of the way Pokemon Go stats work. I don't know if they'll have identical stats and they'll just have multiple forms. Maybe they won't even do the forms. I don't know.
I think they've pretty much done forms as a different Pokemon almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's really cool is that if you look at the base stats for Kyurem, it's 660. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pretty even stats, a little bit more on the attack weighted side, but with the white and the black versions, it has 700 on the base stats, but there's certain flips, but those flips don't really apply to Pokemon Go because in white Kyurem, it looks like the special attack is 170 and the physical attack is 120, and then it's flipped with black. But that doesn't matter in Pokemon Go because they're all lumped into attack. And then the speed is the same, so that would also be factored into attack. And then the defense and special, the physical and special defense are also flipped. So again, it's just going to be whether you have white or black, it's going to be an aesthetic difference, and they both have the same typing, right?
Yes.
And they both have the same stats. So my prediction is that we can only choose one, because that seemed like it was a big deal that you, unless you somehow hacked into the game, you could only have one type in your main series edition. I think that's what I looked up on Wikipedia, on Bulbapedia. That's what it said. So, or that's what I read anyway. So I don't know if that's true or not, because I never played these games, the after Gen 3. But I think it'd be pretty cool if, like, you have to choose one, and yeah, you know, you really get no advantage getting one or the other, because they're both effectively the same. But what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it was, you know, it was more prevalent in the main series games, but like we were saying, with the way Pokemon Go stats work, I don't think this will be much of a factor. If they do have the forms and they have white Kyurem and black Kyurem, I think they'll probably come in the form of raids or research encounters. There could be some form of allowing them to have a different charge move pool and fast move pool, just because based on which one you chose, it could have different moves and different abilities in the main series games, which we don't have abilities. We don't have, you know, a breadth of charge moves or, you know, TMs that we can use to teach it whatever moves we want. You know, it's different, the main series versus Pokemon Go. So we'll have to see how they handle that. It's definitely going to be interesting, but I think we can both agree that this Tao trio is definitely going to shake up the Master League meta for sure.
100%. Three Dragon Breath users, two of them with clone stats to Dialga. You betcha. Absolutely. They're going to make waves into the league, and unique typings. Dragon Electric, Dragon Ice, and Dragon Fire. They're all unique. So, yeah.
Yeah, Reshiram being able to resist the ice and charm damage. I think that's definitely going to be probably the biggest meta shifter there, because of its unique typing and, you know, like you said, maybe not charge move dependent, but the typing and being able to kind of pair that with some different selections in Master League. We'll see. You know, definitely these are not going to be used in Premier Cup that's coming later next month, but in Open Master League, we should have access to some of these, so we'll see how that shapes up in the meta, and we'll be sure to cover that when it comes out later in another episode. So,
yeah. And your buddy who's budding who buddied his ground on, mm-hmm, is going to be really happy, because I heard there's a raid breakpoint on Zekrom and Reshiram, I think. You max out a Groudon best buddy versus not, you're actually doing a little bit more damage.
Oh, nice.
I think that was a Brett Swag Tips tweet that came out not too long ago.
Wow. Sorry, Swag Tips, about your Squirtle defeat. But
I'm not sorry. That is, you know, I'm pretty annoyed with the bees and, you know, titling this episode quite appropriately for that. But I am definitely not sad about Squirtle. What was that?
What was that movie with, I think it was Nicolas Cage, where he plays, I think I got a soundbite for that.
Oh, no, not the bees!
Oh, not the bees!
Not the bees! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! Yeah. My eyes!
Ah! That was me this yesterday afternoon.
The bees are coming, everyone. The bees are coming. Anything else you got before we wrap up?
Yes. Next week, once the meta settles and hopefully the servers don't explode after the entire game is down on June 1st, we'll be looking at Ultra League in depth. So we'll give our take. We'll have one of our coaches give a little bit of their opinion on what they're going to use in the first week of Ultra League GBL. And one more thing. Stunfisk is a mud boy.
There you go. He said it. He said it. We've 100%. Settled it. Everyone, listen to what we're saying. Stunfisk is a mud boy. You heard it here first.
Well, definitely not first. This has been this has been going on Twitter for.
Wait, we didn't say this first.
Stunfisk is a mud boy.
People are talking about this. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I figured like we would be the first to say it.
It's like 15 people are talking about it.
Right. Well, yeah. They think it's a big deal, but it's really not because Stunfisk is clearly a mud boy, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
He slings mud.
We actually, this is dangerous territory. We agree adamantly on something. Right? It's a weird way to end the show.
How dare you agree with me?
Yeah. Change your opinion. How dare we stop copying
another episode? I'll stop. Anyways, all right, guys, we'll see you next time.